Let's pray. It's wonderful, O Father, to feel the presence of your Spirit here amongst us. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say. Help us to put aside our anxieties and our worries and our checklists and everything else. And just to be able to continue to worship you. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. Amen. It's Lent. It's always interesting to me because, you know, I feel like we barely get over Christmas and then, boom, here's Lent. And I was reading a really good book recently by N.T. Wright called How God Became King. And in the book, he is actually talking about how we all tend to do that. And it's partly because of the church calendar. We go straight from Christmas to Lent, from Christmas to Easter and Advent to Lent. And he said, we spend so much time concentrating on those events, which are important events, no question. But he said, we often forget about all of the other things that happen, and particularly in the Gospels. There's a lot of stuff between Christmas and Lent, if you look at the Gospels. And we forget about all those things, and they're all really important as well. So eventually, we're going to return to that thought. But for Lent this year, I already introduced our theme of Jesus felt. And for those of you who are unaware, can you go back to that slide, please? Back up a slide, yeah. There we go. See that little thing on the top of Jesus' head? How many of you have ever seen the movie In-N-Out? Or Inside Out, sorry. One, two, three. That's a Lenten thing for you to do. It's actually supposed to be a kid's movie, but it's got some really deep themes in it. So Inside Out is a little girl who moves and moves away, and she is feeling all these emotions and doesn't know what to do with them. And the movie is about what's going on inside her brains with all the emotions. And all the emotions have a person attached to them and a personality. Might be a good thing to look at this Lenten season. If you can probably find it on many of the, you know, Netflix or Disney Channel or whatever. But for those of you like me who aren't necessarily into movies, there's also a really good book written by Brené Brown. It's called Atlas of the Heart. And she takes 46, I think, different emotions, and she describes them, and she talks about them. And it's a beautiful book. It's not meant to be read cover to cover in order necessarily, although I did. But I'm going to leave this just laying around the church for this 47 days. And if you want to take a look at it, go right ahead. If you want to, you know, check a copy out of the library or whatever, it's worth having. And it's actually really a good book to help us get in touch with our emotions. Lent, as Marilyn said, was 40 days. But actually, I know you're going to say, but there's 47. Yeah, there are 47. There are 40 days of Lent and there's 7 Sundays. And Sundays is never a Lenten day. Because Sunday is always a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and as we worship together. So Sundays aren't a Lent day. And some people who've given up their favorite thing like chocolate or something always go, oh good, does that mean I can actually have chocolate on Sundays? Well, technically yes, because it's not a day of Lent. But, you know, it doesn't hurt us to give up something for 7 days, or 47 days instead of just 40. I know that all of you are not thrilled with the theme. Some of you are, yes, because you love to be in touch with your emotions. I also know that many of us are going, oh boy, do I have to think about all my emotions for all of Lent? That mostly, though most of those people are the men. Not all men are very in touch with their emotions, but it's going to help us all, I think. So it might be a little bit of a stretch for some of you as we go through Lent this year, but I think it's a healthy one. And by the way, that's what our Lent devotional is all about too, isn't it? You will notice as you go through it that that's what we're talking about, the emotions of Jesus during Lent. And that kind of is on purpose, you know. Laura and I kind of had a really good little chat about some of those things as we went through it all. And so we need, during Lent, to prepare ourselves for all that happens on Good Friday moving into Easter. We need to prepare ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. All of that is involved. And quite often we talk about the physical stuff, sometimes even the mental stuff, but we haven't very often talked about the emotional stuff. And Wendy read for us a little while ago from Genesis 1, where God says, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature." Our memory verse for this week, by the way. Because we each are made in the image of God. Not always just the physical part of it. It's all the other parts of it too. It is all the emotional and the mental and the spiritual that we are made in the image of God. And God created human beings to be God-like and to reflect His nature. He created human beings, not doings. And we've talked about that a lot, haven't we? But it bears repeating. God is far more interested in who we are, not in what we do. And the things we do should stem out of who we are and our life of worship to God. The same is true for Jesus Christ. As the Son of Man, He was far more focused on who He was and is than on what He did. Now, granted, what He did was huge and important, and His mission was what He did for each one of us, and that has a massive impact. But He came to be, yes, be our Savior. And as our Savior, He lived out His mission. Jesus was both Son of Man and Son of God. And we tend to focus on what He did, as I said. And as we read our scriptures, we think about the actions of Jesus and not so much on who He was. And we spent previous Lenten seasons talking about the road He walked and the conversations He had and the symbols that speak of His sufferings, and those are all good things for us to contemplate. But this Lent season, I want us to think about the feelings. Jesus was the Son of Man, also made equally in the likeness of God Himself. Jesus was made in the image of God completely. He looked like us, although His skin was probably darker than most of ours. And He thought like us, although hopefully we think more like Him than He thinks like us, because we've got all the sinful parts, and He didn't have that. By the way, in the song we just sang, Jesus, a sinless boy, struck me earlier. I wonder what it would be like to raise a sinless child. Can you imagine? Maybe Mary had it easy. But maybe when she had her second child, she realized how easy she'd had it. Because, you know, she didn't raise a whole bunch of sinless children, just one. But Jesus walks like us and talks like us and lived like us and felt emotions like us. Happiness, laughter, joy, sorrow, sadness, the list goes on and on and on. And the Bible tells us He did not sin. So emotions are not all sinful. Yeah, there are some. And some of our responses to our emotions are pretty sinful. I mean, you think about pride, right? There's healthy pride, but there's also sinful pride. And there's other emotions like that are just sin. Envy, lust, greed, gluttony, hatred, sloth. I could go on and on, right? But Jesus didn't suffer from those. I have a picture on my office door upstairs, if you've been to my office, some of you have, of Jesus laughing. And there are days that I think that God must really look down on us and laugh. Oh, you silly people. What in the world are you doing now? Well, that was a rather silly thing to do, don't you think? Yeah, it probably was. So all of those emotions. Our triune God feels all those emotions. Because we are made in his image, and if we do, he does. Jesus wept. He was sad. He was heartbroken. He was filled with compassion. And we're going to touch on all of these in the coming weeks. And I said, some of us don't like to show our emotions. I particularly went, growing up, don't like showing my emotions in public. It's just one of these things, right? I really don't like crying in public. But it became a matter of pride almost. And one day God said to me, okay, boy, hang on. I created all those emotions in you, including the sorrow or the pain. And the tears are healthy. And I cry along with you. And so if you refuse to cry, how can I cry with you? I think what you're doing, Judy, is pride. And I don't like it. So change it. And I was like, oh boy. I still tend to want to go back to, no, I don't want to cry in public. But then God says, hello. And away we go. Now, some of you have heard me say this, and I'm going to repeat it again, because I love this little fact. Our tears are very important. First of all, when we cry tears, other people feel comfortable cry tears along with us. But also, our God created us so incredibly minutely that when we shed our tears, the tears are made up of different chemical properties based on why we're shedding them. The hormones that we need based on our feelings at that moment in time are in our tears. Not all tears are the same. If you're crying tears of pain, they have one chemical makeup. If you're crying tears of sadness, there's a different chemical makeup. If you're crying tears of laughter, it's a different chemical makeup. I just think that's absolutely fascinating. Because God knows what hormones we need at any given time, and so they're in our tears. And I just think he went to that finite a detail when he created us in his image. I just think that's super cool. Anyway, let's go back. Jesus was fully human, filled with emotions, the same emotions that we have. And each week we're going to look at a couple of different ones. Today, I want us to look at determination. Now, we all know people who are incredibly determined. People who say, if I decide to do this, I'm going to do it at all costs, no matter what. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's not quite so good. Some of us are super strong-willed and stubborn. My mother always said they're two sides of the same coin. And we want strong-willed people, but not stubborn-willed people. So we gotta get used to that a little bit. And I might be just a little bit determined. Jesus was definitely full of determination. From the beginning, Jesus knew why he came to earth. He came with a purpose, and he knew what it was. And he was also very aware of what was going to happen to him. And I've thought about this a lot. And I also think that every time he thought about what was going to happen, he would have been filled with dread. Wouldn't you? If you knew what was going to happen to you, like what happened to Jesus, you'd be filled with dread every time you thought about it. And it's probably why many, many, many times he talked to God about this during his private prayer times. He would go off by himself and he would spend some good time with his Father and the Holy Spirit, and he'd probably talk to them about his feelings because it was tough. And he needed the support of the members of the Trinity. He tried to talk to his disciples about it. There were three specific passages mentioned in each one of the first three Gospels that are also, there's probably many others that we don't have recorded. John alludes to Jesus talking about his death a few times, but it wasn't as specific as in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the scripture we read today in Matthew talks about that. Jesus and his disciples were way up north in Israel. Can see that top circle? They're way up there. And there, Jesus in, turns around in Caesarea Philippi and says, it's time to go to Jerusalem and face the end. And so they walked from way up there all the way down. And lots of things happened along the way. And I'm sure as Jesus turned and started to walk down, he was filled with more than a few emotions. And he asks his disciples in this passage who people are saying he is. Now, he might have done this to help clarify that each of the disciples' minds exactly who he was. But he might also have appreciated hearing the words for his own peace of mind from the people that he had spent 3 years with. Do you guys know who I am, finally? His own peace of mind. But regardless of why he did this, Jesus is reaffirming to all of us exactly who he was as the Son of Man and as a human being. And then he tries to show his disciples exactly what's about to happen in the near future. And he's demonstrating his determination to walk to this. And Peter, after a very meaningful, touching moment where he confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, starts to rebuke Jesus. Jesus said, this is what we're doing and this is why. And Peter goes, oh no. It's the absolute opposite of the affirmation, and is definitely not what Jesus needed or wanted in that moment. And as he was turning to face incredible suffering and pain, and so going with determination, Peter was not helping in that moment. Has that ever happened to you? You set out to do something that you know God wants to do, even though it's hard. And you're fiercely determined to do it, and then someone like Peter tries to help, but really isn't. It's hindering. It happened to Dennis and I. We knew that we were to go overseas to serve God. And more than a few well-meaning friends and relatives thought that we were nuts to be giving up our careers and embarking on this unknown journey. One person, when we came back from Indonesia before we went to Bolivia, looked at us and says, are you done running around the world in little grass skirts and get ready to get real jobs? Ouch. It happens, doesn't it? It happens to all of us at some point or other. And it happened to Jesus. And he really didn't appreciate it. And his rebuke to Peter was strong and harsh. Get behind me, Satan. Wow. What do you think Jesus was feeling in those moments? Ever thought about it? He determined to start that final journey to Jerusalem. And what else is happening? Was he disappointed in Peter? Was he frustrated because he kept meeting opposition to what was going to happen? Was he resenting the fact that the disciples still didn't get it? And they didn't give him the support that he was longing for? Did he feel hurt? Did he feel betrayed? Was he sad? Yeah. Probably all of that. He was, after all, a human being, full of emotion. It's one of the reasons why when we're feeling the same kinds of emotions as we're journeying through life, he understands. He absolutely gets it. He hears us when we cry. He is beside us when we struggle. He knows firsthand what we're feeling. And so it's really a wonderful thing to be able to talk to him bluntly and honestly, knowing that he hears us and is walking with us every step of the way, feelings and all. Many people have been in my office really upset about something, and I've said to them, so have you talked to God about it? And they go, oh no, could never do that. Well, yeah, actually you can. First of all, He already knows you're mad. So you may as well admit it to him, because he knows and you know, and you're just not talking about it. So talk to him. And yell at him if you want. And he goes, oh no, I couldn't do that. Well, yes, you can. You can do that. God's shoulders are big enough to handle it. Talk to him when you're sad. Talk to him when you're mad. Talk to him when you're hurting. Talk to him. He gets it. Jesus has been there. God created you and he knows you so well. Talk to him about it all. Cry with him and he'll cry right along with you. I think we way too often do ourselves a disservice when we don't talk to God about everything. All things, including our emotions. And so, as we move through Lent, I want us to think about the emotions that Jesus felt. And I want us to think about the emotions we are feeling. What Jesus went through in the last weeks of his earthly life was hard. Really hard. Let's think about that. And then let's work at talking to God about how we're feeling. Maybe we can learn to live into the determination to live out God's will in our world, no matter how hard that is for us. Jesus turned around at Caesarea Philippi with a feeling of determination, determined to finish his mission on earth. God gives each one of us our own missions. Sometimes it's hard to live those out. But he goes with us every step of the way. This Lenten season, let's recognize the intense feelings that Jesus had as he journeyed to the cross. And let's empathize. Let's pray. Feelings. We often don't recognize that our feelings were given to us by you, God. Forgive us when we have failed to talk to you about all of our feelings. Forgive us when we've tried to shut the door on you as you were trying to embrace us. Jesus, your sacrifice was so incredible. The feelings that you felt along the way are something that some of us have not really stopped and thought about. So help us as we grow to understand even further the depth of your sacrifice for each one of us and for all people throughout the world. Surround us with your love as we journey to the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.